Project execution, 11th chapter of project management that we're doing through this series. Let's have the look at the objectives of project execution. Learning objectives: till this time we have learned and used various project management tools and techniques to do the so-called software or a paperwork phase of project management. Now it's time to test how effective and efficient is the exercise completed till time. Since from this point onwards, it is only execution of activities mentioned in the plan as per schedule, the documented project management procedures and methods. Project management is a phase of execution, is very crucial since the number of stakeholders involved will rise rapidly and sharply. The human resource utilization from functions in the execution of projects such as manufacturing, procurement, quality control, assembly erections, commissioning, etc. will be wide spectrum of experience and qualification. Now, this is where if you ask me what is execution, I term it in a very simple thing. Planning is applying my brain every time. Planning is doing all those things which I have to do when it have to anticipate. Execution is all about applying heart. So while you execute it with your heart and soul, and you will find the results coming for you. While planning, do not apply any heart. Just apply your cognition, apply your brain, and you will find results coming in planning as well. So clear demarcation of what planning and execution is all about in a very simple stage for you. So let's move on and see what's written on the slides also. Also, other interfaces of the organization such as operations, marketing, business affairs, finance, etc. will get associated very closely to project management team. Organizational business values and cultures are the prime important factor that will impact on the project execution phase. Our objective in this chapter is to discuss and assimilate the technique to ensure that in spite of factors mentioned above, the project management and its execution doesn't allow it to derail from the planned track and detract from the target's objective. So, business values and organizational culture. What is a culture? Let's define what's a culture. Culture is a unsaid way of doing work. Few organizations have an aggressive culture. Few organizations have an employee-oriented culture. Few organizations will have a project-driven culture. Few organizations will be a cost-driven culture. Few organizations will be security-driven culture. Lot of ways of cultures. What's a value? Value is what is that I believe in truly as a business person, as an employee, as an organization. That's value for you. So business value is a unique concept of each organization. It's very unique to every organization. It is the entire value of the business, including the tangible and intangible elements. Monetary assets, fixtures, stockholder equity, and utility of examples of tangible elements, whereas goodwill, brand recognition, public benefit, trademarks are the examples of intangible elements of a business value. Business value in terms of outputs, in terms of effective management of an ongoing business operations. Thus, organizations with good business values will have an ability to employ reliable, established processes to meet the project objectives and earn additional value on the business. The government agencies, social organizations, educational institutes are not business driven and are not non-profit making establishments, but are focused on acquiring business values for the activities. Organizational culture, style phenomena is explained in chapter 2 that we've done earlier. In the brief, the organization is a systematic, organized group of entities, people or departments to accomplish a purpose, one of which may be undertaken through your projects. So we've already explained you how projects get elaborated because they come out with the organization strategies. Strategies are built upon organizational values. Values come from the set of people who believe in something and then they start working around. So project is a manifestation of the thought that an organization has ideally. So more things on business value business values in culture organization. Culture norms are developed by the organization years of operations, and many affect the execution of the projects either direct, since the norm include establishment approaches to initiate or plan projects, means considerate, applicable, acceptable for getting the work done, or considerate authorities who make or influence the decision but are not responsible for project accomplishments. Organizational culture develops over a period of time by the common experiences of members, become unique by the practice and common usage. Common experience includes but are not related or not limited to shared vision, mission, value, beliefs and systems and expectations, regulation, policies, methods and procedures, motivation and reward system, risk tolerance of an organization, value of leadership, hierarchy and authority of the relationship, code of conduct, work ethics and work hours, the operating environment. Is it a very jovial environment? So let me give you a very simple example on how working environment can be. Let's say I'm working in an advertising agency. What do you think? People will be formally dressed there? Not necessary. You know, they might come in very casual clothes, not necessary. They're shaved and formally dressed. But if you go to a corporate bank, what do you think would be the environment there? Everybody would be spick and span, completely acquired with their formal attire, speaking very polished. So that's a working environment. That's an environment that a corporate bank has created. That's an environment where an advertising firm is created. Creative fields will generally have a different environment, and more cognitive financial fields will have a very different environment. So why? Because creative fields are based, their prime objective is creativity, while the finance team, the fine objective is financing. So how do you attract financiers, how do you attract investors, whether it's bank or private investors, it doesn't matter. So that's an environment that they create for themselves in a given organization. All of these will occur at the same or the other place during the execution, and many conflicts with the organizational culture might take place. The project manager's role is very important in such incidences in order to resolve it to a logical end or escalate the issue raised by the stakeholders. In some of these incidences, they may change required in the organizational policies and procedures. The project manager is expected to follow and expedite the change approval and management procedures. So, possible, right? So there are possible that people come together from different cultures. You know, people leave jobs. They come from different organization where the culture is different. So to adjust with that, it takes a little more time, and that may deteriorate a project time. Similarly, so hence the hiring process becomes very critical about people. If you remember one of the example that I gave you about one of an automobile company trying to take a top position guy from another automobile company, he was not hired because the kind of culture that he came from was more conservative in nature, and this company has a more aggressive in nature. So he was not picked up only because of that reason. Let's also read through some other factors. Organizational structure can affect the availability of resources. I don't know if I'm a long structured organization, if I have 15 hierarchy methods, or I'm a very lean organization and everybody knows each other and stuff. Influence the execution of the project as well. So if I'm a project manager, if I have direct accessibility to my chairman, the easiness of my project becomes, the execution plays a very important role there. If I have a long-driven organization, I have a high hierarchy to it. So by the time I reach the chairman, maybe I have lost all the time in my life. So that is what we're talking about in organizational structure. So the structure may vary from functional to project-wise with a variety of matrix structure. So a lot of possibility that I'm reporting administratively to somebody else, and I my final reporting is to somebody else. If I'm working in a project, I'm reporting to a project manager. However, my final reporting is to somebody else. So that is all possible, and that's called the matrix reporting. The position of project manager and reporting is the overall organizational structure is crucial for taking and implementing decisions as per people requirement or project requirement. Project-wise, strong matrix organization with project managers reporting to the CEOs are always preferred. Always preferred. Geographical distribution of facilities and resources, infrastructure, revision in government and in industry standards, commercial database, for example, standard cost estimation data. risk database, a standard outsourcing rate of data, processing procedures, some of the important procedures are change control, financial control, issue and defect management and risk control. So these are a few things that we need to look at when we are actually looking at the culture of the organization. Let's look at environmental factors. Organizational environmental factors could be the corporate knowledge database. So this is intellectual property of an organization. Existing human resource, the skills, disciplines, and knowledge that have acquired over a period of time in the organization. Personal administration, standards of staffing, retention, what is the performance review or mechanism or procedures that they follow? What's an average growth that they give to an employee? What are the different facilities that the employee receives? Does he have a travel policy? Does he have a medical policy? Does he have a family benefit policy? Does he have a house to stay that's been given by the company? So a lot of factors depend on the culture that's been derived in the organization. So that takes us to the next part, which talks about organizational work authorization system. I'll read through the slide. It's very easy to understand. These factors may enhance and constrain the project management options and may have positive or negative influence on the project outcomes, which becomes prominent and evident during the project execution phase. Hence, the project team is required to deal with these factors very skillfully, with swift responses and effective corrections or corrective actions with approvals and information of the project manager. In case the constraints are negative influence, the enhancement of positive influence should be recorded, incorporated as the learning data and be used in future. Relationship between project and operation management team. Both project and operations are an inherent part of a business organization. When projects work on specific information or a specific data, and then they would want to achieve a specific result. Operations is an ongoing method, is an ongoing process. So both are very important to be there in an organization. Each one of them has their own function and essential slot of survival in the organization. With this focal concept, both project and operation management are aligned to the organizational business strategies that businesses that business creates. To avoid issues and conflicts of interest, priorities for that matter, in such issues can be resolved to support strategic goal of an organization. And that's where leadership plays a very important role in organization. That's exactly today across the globe, companies hire top leaders with whatever money or monetary benefits or for statistic benefits that they require are being paid and given to them, just to ensure that they have a strong leadership team that drives all the projects and company strategies for a bigger goal. So operational management is responsible for overseeing direct and controlling business operations to support day-to-day business operations of repetitive nature. So it's a regular work. For example, production of production or manufacturing or maintenance operations. So making a new soap is project, but manufacturing the same soap is not a new project, right? So it's an ongoing operations. As the demand comes from the market, you're going to manufacture it and give it to the consumers. So project being one-time endeavor with unique output and accomplishment with certain require project management skill sets against the business operation management. And operation management activities and skills get required by a management of operations. The project and operations management intersect at various points during the project life cycle. These interactions are more prominent during the execution stage. So if you remember, I told you about the bell curving chart, and I said the stakeholders, including your project operation team, would have a high stake and high demand during your execution stage. I spoke about the bell curve that would happen. So the interest of the stakeholders would be absolutely high during the execution phase. And the reason I said that is because at that point in time, people all together are working on to achieve a target. That takes us to the next point, and the next point says the interaction points differ with the nature and type of the project. For such scenarios of interaction, it is very essential to maintain the harmony between operations and project management. This can be achieved, provided at the beginning is made from the top management and demonstrated to the middle management and to lower management and of both streams. The decisions shall be taken judiciously with consideration of the mentioned above. Let's look at this. It talks about relationship between project and operation management. So what do I need to know? Each closeout phase, how closing out is going to happen. My project team manager needs to know how it's going to happen, and my operation heads needs it to happen. The point of utilization of existing resources, because operations generally will have their own tedious issues. So to pull out resources from operations in projects would be a little difficult. So what is the point of utilization of these resources? Testing, upgrading, and new product, improved product or processes, of course, approvals of new product and improved processes, implementation of new improved processes is so what are those? That those could be in finance, human resources, you can have procurement, you can have and if approval doesn't generally qualify to be crossing points, since the output or the project output will support and add business value. So a little more reading on the slide. In case the project is planned to deliver the output to external agency or the customer, the project management crossing points with operations will be more in numbers with increased gravity of conflict. Why? Because everybody would want to prove that they are doing it correct. So in that process, the conflict arises. And the game of conflict is this. If I sit on the conflict and I do not resolve it, it's going to eat up two things. It's going to eat up my money. It's going to eat up my time. And the most crucial that's going to eat up is my relationships. So any conflict, it doesn't matter which conflict you are into, whether it's a project management conflict or a personal conflict or a professional conflict, the best way to resolve a conflict is to confront that conflict and complete it, because it saves time, it saves energy, and it saves money. And moreover, it saves relationships. So understand that conflict management is an integral skill that a project manager needs to acquire. There are a lot of other skills as well, and we're going to talk those in this chapter as also. So such projects for prominent cross points includes, but will not be limited to, business goals and targets, organizational strategies and policies and procedures, resource utilization and leveling, financial requirements and approvals, infrastructure selection and assigning, human resource forms and existing pool, and of course utilization of common facilities such as supporting functions, and examples like IT and human resource and accounts and finance, logistics, a lot of departments to it. Roles and responsibility of a project manager. The role and responsibility of project manager, we have already been discussed this in chapter number 6, but yeah, it is clearly two words that are there on the slide, which I want you to focus on, is the speed and the sense of urgency are the two most important things that a project manager needs to have. So speed of his work, which also deals with his accuracy, and of course the sense of urgency that he needs to do that completely. So reading through the last paragraph on the slide, it says the project manager has a prominent role to play in the phase, being a focal point of communication. By the time of execution phase of project being, the project manager must consult further his leadership that is already established. He must take all the decisions professionally and not emotionally. And that's exactly what I said. While planning or while taking decisions, apply your heart. But while working and doing, executing the task, apply your heart. You're going to put your heart and soul in work. It's going to flourish well. You're going to put your brains in planning and taking decisions. It's going to give you correct results. So that's what we're talking about. He shall start demonstrating his skills for team building and delegation and motivate the team with effective communication of decision. Feedback loop must be in place of receiving the change control process, note with an approval justification, and take decisions without any delay. Go take decisions. You've got to take a decision. Why is it important to take a decision? It's simple. You might be either correct or you might be either wrong, but that's a result. That's a lesson learned. So don't stop. Take a decision and make it happen immediately, and do not delay any decisions that you're taking. So there are integral words on the slide in which I'm going to throw light on. It talks about the skill of team building. Why? Because a project manager has to manage people. He has to build a strong team. He needs to know what is delegation, because he can't do everything by himself. He needs to know what has to be delegated when and to whom. So for which he completely requires a skill of understanding his people. Motivate them. There has to be a reason every time why people should work for you and on your project. So you've got to motivate people every time when you're working on a project. Or else, the moment motivation level dip down, boy, if you might have a best skilled person, a technically a skilled person. If he is not motivated, he's not going to work for you. So as simple as that. In understanding. So direct and manage a project work, three important things. What has happened? It gives a strong scope management plan, gives me a schedule management plan, and of course it also gives me my cost management plan. Approve change control requests, infrastructure, environmental factors, and organizational culture. I'm not going to read this for you, but it's because we've already spoken about this and how it is happening. Direct and manage has few more things. It says train and manage the team members assigned to project. Obtain your resources, including materials, tools, and equipments. Implement and plan the methods and standards of doing it, and establish a communication channel between the stakeholders. Some more things that can happen when you're directing your team and project team. Issues of change requests can be handled in a specific manner. We have generate work, which is technical data or quality data or status reports. Those will have to be managed. Manage risk and implementation risk response activities. Manage vendors and suppliers. Collect, document, and lessons learned. A project manager, along with the project management plan, is expected to manage various technical and organizational interfaces with the project. The project manager should also manage the unplanned activities and decide the appropriate course of action. So, keyword here is decide. If you see, he has to decide the appropriate course of action, and hence his decision-making abilities play an important role. What's there next? Deliverables are produced as outputs from the execution phase of the project as planned. And schedule management plan. The work performance data collected needs to be communicated to every stakeholder, or at least the stakeholder who is responsible for it and accountable for it. Work performance data includes information about completion status, delivery status. It talks about relevant information on the project, its definitions. This data can be used as inputs for monitoring purposes and controlling purposes, or controlling a certain process or a system that you are grouping in. It will also give you expert judgments while you're performing, while directing and managing the project work. The project team may use expert judgments, use your mentors, make a project jam, meetings, or brainstorming sessions, focus group discussions, using the PMIS data, which will help you to get some lessons learned information. Primary responsibility of project manager is to ensure that availability of expertise needed, mainly for technical and management activities. The expertise may be utilized from other units of the organization. So be very open to move to people, go to people as a project manager, take inputs from them, people who are experienced than you, consultants and subject matter experts, join various groups, ensure that you blog, ensure you ask questions to a lot of people about the project that you are in. Stakeholders, people who are sponsoring you, maybe they're because they believe in you, and that's exactly why they're sponsoring you. So go ahead and ask your stakeholders about it. The professional and technical associates from renowned institutes, you can just go there, check with them what is the basic statistics of the work. Is it been done? Is there a case study around it? You can go back to the books and check and have a reference around it. Yeah. So a few more things, of course, meeting with effective, very effective means to discuss the pertinent topic. Each participant of the meeting should have a definite defined role. The attendees shall have an appropriate stakeholder involved and affected by topics, which means please come with an agenda in a meeting. Do not call a meeting without an agenda. If you don't have an agenda, don't call a meeting. Define the time. Know who is going to come. Tell people what they have to complete the task and come. If it's a status update meeting, everybody should be aware what's the status they are on. ensure that all these things are already mentioned in an email or a draft that you're sending to them before calling any meeting. So that's how it is. And then if we read through the slide here, we have meeting arranged with well-defined objectives, purpose, or a time conducted with all participants. Face-to-face will be the most effective way of meeting. Unfortunately, it's not possible every time. So you can also have a various way of doing a webinar, or whether you can do video conferencing and a lot of other tools. Minutes of meeting should be circulated, stored and circulated to everybody. Where do you store it? Of course, you have various softwares where you can store it. One of them is PMIS that your company must be using, and circulated to all the concerned stakeholders. Updating all the relevant project document is an essential requirement of a process of directing and managing the project work. This project shall generate the output of the list of below and should not be limited to that. Of course, what would happen? A unique and verifiable product for a product deliverable. Work performance data, who should work what, how. Change request if there is any kind of change. Project updates that you might get for a revised element. And update project documents such as project log, risk register, stakeholder register, extra. Managing human resource. We're going to talk about managing human resource as a very close thing to my heart, because I love managing people and being with them every time. So let's have a look at this. What are you going to get out of if you are able to manage your people well? One, if you have correct roles and responsibilities of a team, if you have good HR policies, if you have team performance assessments done every time, if you keep issue logs on what people get irritated or get demotivated with, if you have a work performance report where you can discuss with them of how they have done, and you have a reason why they should work on that project, I think you can effectively manage your team or a project team. So this takes us to the next slide. And what is the next slide talking about? Observation and conversation is what we're talking about. Observation and conversation is a routine basis, are very useful to keep in touch with a project team or a project work. And attitude of the project team members is exhibited. The project team member can monitor the progress towards the deliverables and interpersonal issues with observation and conversation. So not necessary that, because we human beings, we just don't work, right? We have a family, we have a social life, and it all sometimes, my family life is not correct, it disturbs my official life. Sometimes my official life disturbs my family life. So hence, interpersonal relationship with the project team members of a project manager is very, very important to find out the root cause of the performance or non-performance of my team member. So that takes us to the next part, which is called project performance appraisal. Everybody needs a target, right? Everybody needs to know where I have to go. So if I say you have to achieve 100 hours of work, 100 hours of work is what you have to do, and you have to achieve a set benchmark of a project, which means if what level is the person been able to do, and I appraise that process. So how do we do that? The project performance appraisal will be useful for clarifying roles and responsibilities of the employee. Feedback every time if an employee gets an accurate, correct feedback methodology has been applied. It also helps an employee to elevate his standards of work. The need of frequency for formal project performance will be decided by the duration and complexity of the project or the organizational policy. Generally, in an organization, from an organizational point of view, you will always have an annual appraisal. Now, this also has a labor policy. During my labor policy, where am I going? How is it happening? That's something that I look at it. So appraisal is a very integral process, because at the end of the day, if I do not appraise people and let them stay on the same place, I will not find people elevating. If I don't find people elevating, I will have scarcity of resources at the level that I would want to take my organization to. So we're talking about conflict. An important aspect to understand about conflict is, why does it arise all the time? You know, why there is a conflict between governments and countries? Why is there's a conflict between two states? Why is there a conflict between two societies? Why is there a conflict within the families? Why is there a conflict between every relationship that we have? So conflict has to be understood from a very different point of view, my friends. You got to realize that conflict, when I say conflict, it is something that that arises due to two integral things. One being interest. Interest of the aspect, the game or the project or the mechanism that I want to be involved into. So interest is the word. Second, why conflicts arise is because of the emotions. So let's understand, I'll dwell it down a little bit for you so that you have a broader perspective of how what a conflict is. Conflict arises because of interest. Now, what is interest? If I have a common interest, there are less likely that the conflicts will arise. But as we go along the entire journey of our project or whatever we are doing together with people around us, the emotions and the motivations change. So when we say motivations change, emotions change, something that is very important for me today, after 10 years will not be or may not necessarily be the most important thing. There could be ample amount of reasons. I am satisfied with what I have done as an individual. I have satisfied with, I am okay, or I have lost interest itself in doing that job right now. So, conflicts will arise because of two reasons. Disconnect in interest within the parties and of course, the emotions of the other parties about the project. So, something that is very close to my heart and somebody as my partner or my project team member is not doing, or I perceive him not doing as close or as rigorously that I'm doing, then I might have a problem with that individual, and that is where could be the core of my conflict. I told you earlier also that conflict, if not pegged in right at the beginning, will make losses in your, one is your money, in your time, and of course in your efforts. So ensure that you manage conflicts very well, whether it's conflicts within your within families, whether it's conflict in projects, professionally, personally, or socially. Do manage conflicts very well. Why? Because conflicts will not let you go ahead. It are the roadblocks that will not let you achieve the target that you want to achieve, or it will not let you go to the objective that you've planned in your project or even for that matter in your life. So let us have a look of what conflict from project management point of view is. Conflict is an inevitable phenomena in a project environment. What do I say by inevitable? You cannot avoid it. It will be there. Conflict will always be there. That shall be addressed immediately, usually in private, with direct collaboration approach. In case of disruptive conflicts, formal procedures including disciplinary actions may be used. Scarce resources, including priorities and personal work style, are the major reasons of conflicts. Didn't I say about it? Scarce resources or scheduling priorities and personal working style. So, scheduling priorities is the interest that I have. Personal working style is the emotion attached to that project are the major reasons of conflict. Well-defined ground rules, group norms, and solid management practices such as communication, planning, and clear role definition will reduce the number of conflicts to minimal. I'll read to the slide. The slide says that the conflict resolved with a win-win situation results in a higher productivity and a positive working relationship. The difference of opinions of the conflict can be utilized as an opportunity of increasing the creativity and better decision-making. If these differences become a negative factor, the project team members are responsible initially to resolve the same at the first step. If it is escalated, the project manager should provide and facilitate the solution. Which means, as a project manager, it's your job to facilitate and resolve conflicts. Ideally, conflicts should not arise, but unfortunately, they will always. Because people will have different interests, people will have different emotions, people will have different motivations. So, different project managers may adopt different methods to handle conflict management. But the key factors listed are the below. Determine the resolution method made unchanged. Relative importance and intensity matrix. So what do I mean by that? So this is more mechanical in nature, but how important is that task and what is the intensity of that task is one of the more important aspects of resolving conflict. The time available to the resource, is it appropriate? Because if the resource feels bogged down by the work that he is doing, the possibility that is that he gives up. Stand taken by the individual involved. What is the stand that is taken by the project manager that is involved or the person who is into the conflict? Motivation available to resolve the conflict in a short-term and a long-term basis. What's my motivation not to get into a conflict? Am I driven by a cause? The important aspect is, if I'm driven with a common cause and my project is able to create that common cause, then I will have conflicts resolved in short-term basis very quickly. And in the long-term basis, conflicts will have certain type of parameters that can be resolved. Managing conflicts, we have withdraw and avoid. Withdraw is, of course, withdrawing from actual conflict situation by postponing the issue to better preparation, and allows you to be resolved by others rather than. So there are a few conflicts that the course of time takes care of, so you don't have to necessarily get into it. So the smooth accommodates is emphasizes areas in agreement rather than areas of differences, by conceding one's position to the need of the others to maintain harmony in the relationship. So you let go few things. It's okay. That's a very beautiful word that is used by Dr. Stephen Covey. He says it's okay. The moment he says it's okay, which means he's not prioritizing or giving that importance to that issue at this point in time, you can somewhere down the line go ahead and remove that issue and automatically it will pass off. So not necessarily that every conflict has to be handled, but there are few which have to be pegged in right at the beginning of your work. Compromise and reconcile. So searching of a solution that brings some degree of satisfaction to all the parties in order to temporarily or partially resolve the conflict is called compromise. Force or direct. Pushing one's viewpoint at the expense of others. Offering only win-lose solutions, usually enforced through the power position to resolve an emergency. So if there is a emergency war that's been declared, you can't go and you can go and take a compromise, right? You go ahead and push an information of an emergency, and people are forced to do what government or the defense ministry is talking about. Collaborative or problem solving. Now, these are things where incorporating multiple viewpoints and sides from different perspectives requires a cooperative attitude and open dialogue that typically leads to consensus and commitment. What does that mean? That mutually you have decided that that to work together. You have not given away. In this, the collaborative approach is the best approach to use, because all the team members are wanting to do it. However, there are a few things that they don't agree. So the best way is collaboratively get them together and try resolving that conflict. The moment you are able to do that, you will have greater commitment towards the work by the team members. The above mentioned techniques are not specified in any order of preference. The choice of a prerogative of the user to suits the requirement. So it's not an order or something like that. These are behaviors, or these are techniques that you can use according to your wish. Let's move on to the other aspect of human resource management, one that is called as interpersonal skills. So what is interpersonal skills, by the way? There are two words I would want to define: interpersonal skills and intrapersonal skills. Now, interpersonal skills is a skill that an individual has while managing relationships. Official, personal, that's an interpersonal skill. Intrapersonal skills are individual style and his skills and his attitude and his behavior. So it's for self. Interpersonal is more with people. So I'll read the definition around it. Interpersonal skills is one of the mandatory requirements of the project manager, since required to use the combinations of technical, personal, and conceptual skills and to analyze the solutions, suggestions, change requests, and appropriate intersects with the team members. Effective use of interpersonal skills allows the project manager to capitalize on the strengths of all the team members. So if you have a great relationship with your team members, if you have wonderful relationship with your subordinates and your stakeholders, it will help you to amplify your project objectives. Leadership, influencing, effective decision makings are typical examples of interpersonal skills. The project manager leadership can inspire the project team to achieve high performance levels are very, very important. So what are key skills? Leadership. I need to know how to lead people. I need to know how to lead the project. I need to influence people, that because not necessarily everybody is going to work under me every time. I have to influence people. When I don't have the authority, how can I influence people? I need to be a likable person, first of all. I need to be a good human being for that. I need to ensure that I have an ability to work on that project, which means my skill is important. I need to have the knowledge, the wherewithal of that project, which means I need to have a knowledge, I need to have skills, and I need to have my good attitude. That will help people, that will influence people around me. Effective decision making. What is the effective decision making? Effective decision making is whatever you decide in that current given situation, which really yields result in future. Now that's decision. So whether you take a decision of giving up of that activity or doing that activity, the result of that decision would decide whether you're a good decision maker or no. So it's not necessarily the efforts that have been counted, but the results are very well counted by everybody. So as leaders, as project managers, it's integral that you have these three skills. You need to lead people, you need to influence them, you make correct decisions at correct time of the project. That will help you to manage your human resources very, very well.